At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Coming up on episode 336 of Wheel Bearings, we got the Lexus LX 600, the Ford EcoBoost Mustang, Toyota Prius, the new Lexus GX, the 2025 Ford Explorer and Lincoln Aviator, the Mazda CX-70, GM's bringing back plug-in hybrids, an electric Honda NSX is coming eventually, maybe, possibly, Kyle Connor tries to buy a VinFast VF8, and all that and more coming up next. This is episode 336 of Wheel Bearings. I'm Sam Abul Salmon from Guidehouse Insights.
I am Nicole Wakelin from The Road Reflected.
And I am Roberto Baldwin from SAE International.
And Mr. Baldwin, what have you been driving? You go first this time.
What have I been driving? Well, let me tell you, fine people.
Well, please do tell us.
Will Bearings podcast universe. I have been driving the 2024 EcoBoost Coupe Premium Mustang. I've been driving it around all week. It's been stupid rainy here, and everyone's just
experienced it.
There you go. Everyone's just hydroplaning like there's like it's their job on the freeway. And at one point, I thought that I didn't even have a. They gave me summer tires because I was like. And then it's just that they're Pirellis. They're not like the super hardcore like all seasons. They're like kind of light heart, you know, all seasons. It was just the fact that I'm driving through giant standing water puddles at speed. So it's been a lot. That said, I've been driving it all over the place for the last week, and it's warm, it's dry, so it's got two things going for it right now, warm and dry.
At least when you're inside the car, right?
At least when you're inside the car. So I'm just going to tell you things I do not like about this vehicle. Number one, you can't get it with the manual transmission. It's very weird for me to get in the Mustang. Most of the Mustangs I've driven in the last few years, they always just send me the manual transmission version. You can't get one. You get a 10-speed.
Not with the four cylinder anyway. Only with the V8.
Yeah, you're not getting it with the EcoBoost. You get the EcoBoost, and that's the second thing. The four cylinder. If you go to Ford's website and you look just at the car, it'll tell you the specs. It will not tell you the size of the engine. It will not tell you it's an inline four at all. I was like scrolling around looking. No, they're not going to tell you that. Probably because they're anticipating people will be angry because it's a four cylinder instead of a six cylinder. That said, it's fine. I drove it around. It's got a lot of power. Got sport mode. It's got 315 horsepowers. 315 ponies, as they would say in the olden days.
Ponies.
It's outside the fact that it's an automatic transmission. It drives fine. It's a Mustang. It has that exhaust where you can like regular exhaust, turn off the exhaust, sport exhaust, track exhaust.
It? Which exhaust did you annoy the neighbors with?
I just use regular exhaust because I talk to my neighbors on a regular basis and I don't want them to be, oh my God, this guy again.
Oh, that Robbie guy, darn cars he drives. He's the worst.
Here's the thing. If you just put a regular person in this car who wants a Mustang, you just put them in the car, you told them it was a V6, they would believe you. Yeah. They wouldn't know. They would have no idea.
Well, you know, in a 315 horsepower, this thing's got 90 horsepower more than the 5-liter V8 that I bought in 1990 when I graduated from college.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, yeah. So there you go. So you're getting more power. I'm a big fan of replacing V6s with four-cylinder engines just because you're saving a lot of weight. And typically, the power-to-weight ratio is actually a little bit better. So, yeah. That said, if you are a car person, you're going to notice it from the exhaust. It sounds like a four-cylinder with a nice exhaust. It sounds like a Honda with an exhaust. Which is, they tried, you know, if you put in sport, you put in track mode, it sounds a bit beefier. But driving it around, I'm like, oh yeah, that's a four-cylinder exhaust right there. And that's a, I got the four-cylinder, and then I went out and bought the AEM exhaust system. And I bolted it onto the back of my Civic, and I'm ready to party. Again, 99% of the people in the world wouldn't notice. No idea. No clue. I do like that they replaced the fake metal toggle switches in the dash. They used to have these toggles that were – they looked like they were metal. They're actually plastic, and they only went one direction. So they look like toggles. They would go up and down.
Oh, but they only went – okay.
Yeah, they only went down.
They're more like piano keys.
Yeah, they felt really cheap. Like the rest of the interior of the car, I'm like, all right, this is fine. It's a Mustang. And then those things just kind of stuck out like a sore thumb, especially when I could get a Mini with actual metal like toggle switches that actually did the thing they were supposed to do. So that, yeah, I'm glad those are gone. They've replaced them with sort of soft touch buttons that actually move. They're not like squishy. They do feel a little squishy, but
except that it's like one big button.
It's oh, like, yeah, you remember like the, one long
remember
button.
The BlackBerry Storm where the whole screen when you press
no,
it?
No, I don't.
So the BlackBerry Storm was the first BlackBerry with a touchscreen display.
Okay.
And they thought, you know, well, BlackBerry users are used to having keys. They like they always say they like the tactile feedback of the keyboard. So to try to give them that tactile feedback of the keyboard, the Storm had a touchscreen. But it also had like switches underneath there. So when you actually had to press down and click to, you know, to type anything on this thing. And it was basically the worst of all worlds.
And like the whole thing moved. Just,
yeah, the whole screen literally rocked. When you
it's like if you it's like if you stuck a piece of plywood on top of a mattress, you pushed it.
Oh, that doesn't sound ideal.
Now, you know, these switches on the dashboard of the Mustang, not quite so bad, but when you look close at it, you realize, or when you press on it and you look at it, you realize that it looks like five buttons, but it's actually one big button.
One big long button.
Got it.
Yeah.
So again, I don't know if people are gonna notice that and except for now because of us.
Yeah.
Now they all know.
Sorry, everybody.
Sorry, everyone.
Mustang.
I do like the amount of buttons that are on the steering wheel. Like the fact that modes is on the steering wheel and all the other stuff, and they all make sense where they are. I like a nice steering wheel button layout where it makes sense. And I like when mode is on the steering wheel. I don't want to go searching for it. I definitely do not want to go into a touch screen in order to change the modes for a vehicle. I like that it's right there in the steering wheel. You just push up or down. They're separated by another button. So it's pretty easy to figure out what you're doing while you're driving. The one I had the Recaro seats. So I had the little fancy Recaro sports seats, which are a $1,600 option. I like racing and sports seats. I fit really well in them. I'm way more comfortable in these seats than I am in like 18 way adjustable, blah, blah, blah. I don't know why. I don't know who's designing these. I'm assuming it's someone who's the exact same size as me.
Same height, weight, and everything that you are.
But, yeah. They're, you know, just,
I'm not, you know, anything like your body. And I also fit very well.
You just made him sound like an alien. I'm like,
nothing. I'm not a monster.
My body, my proportions are very different from yours, Robbie. And I also fit I am very comfortable in these Recaro seats.
There you go. They're very comfortable. They're not heated. So if you live somewhere it's cold, you're not going to get heated. They don't have, you know, all the other things that people would want from seats. But I really enjoyed them. Are they worth $1,600? The problem is that everyone else in your life has to sit in the seat because you can't just, I guess you could just buy the car and then just get one.
Well,
weird would that look? I bet you could.
I mean, realistically, I mean, there's only going to be one other person that's going to be sitting in there. I mean, you know, the back seats, you know, I mean.
No, those back seats are worthless. Yeah, the bath seats are essentially the same seats as are in my BRZ. They're purely decorative.
Yeah.
You can put some things back there. I think we stuck a guitar back there. I stuck a bag of like flyers back there for like a show that's coming up. So that fit. Overall, no, I actually, you know, I'm a bit, I like the Mustang. I'm a fan.
What did you think of the new screen layout in this thing?
I you know what? Put it on the Fox body gauges and just leave it alone. I don't really, anything else is just, I don't. Because it's just gauges. It just looks like old timey gauges. And that's all I really want. I can see how fast I'm going with the little thing. That's it. The display for the infotainment system, it can be a little weird figuring out where you're supposed to go. Like the navigation is a little wonky because like, wait, well, how do I get back from this? Like if you want to turn on, let's say the front defroster, like right in the middle of the bottom portion of the infotainment system, you know, on the bottom portion, it's always the climate controls. In the middle, you push a little button, it pops up and it's like, oh, now you can turn on, you know, the front defroster and the rear defroster. And there's some other things you can do in there. But then like, now, how do we get rid of it? There's no like X button. There's no like button to hit home. It just takes over the whole screen. You're like, well, now what do I do? It turns out you just hit the button again, that center portion, and then it goes down.
Yeah.
But it took a moment. I'm driving around. I'm like, wait, how do I get rid of this? I have an interchange coming up. I got to know which way to go.
You're lost.
I'm like, oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, dear. I do like that Ford worked with Apple. So if you use Apple Maps in the dash, you can actually see, oh, go left, go right. You know, it has a little arrow. It tells me how far I have to go.
Yeah,
so
they've actually had that for a long time.
Yeah.
Ford and Honda were the first two companies to do that. When you use either CarPlay or Android Auto, they repeat, they do the navigation prompts in the instrument cluster.
Yeah, so I'm a big fan of that. I know the Ford worked really hard to make sure that for their EVs that you can do that with Apple. It can tell you like where it gets charging and whatnot. So, yeah, they have a relationship with Apple, so that's nice. Let's see, Co-Pilot. I used it. It's tough. You can't really test these things like when it's crazy windy and it's, you know you're going to – it's crazy windy and it's crazy wet. So it's hard to see. It's hard, you know, if you can't see, neither turns out neither can they get a car, to be honest.
Nobody.
So, it worked as well as I would anticipate it to be, but I can't give it like a, man, this is a regular day and we drive it around and see how it works test, unfortunately. But overall, let's see. No, it's a good, Mustang. Get the EcoBoost. They start at, I believe, 30.
Just over 30,000 for the base.
Yeah, 31. So for the base model, I had the, of course, because this is the way it is, I had the premium version. So it starts at 36.5. There was some equipment they added on there. Like I told you, the Recaro seats were 1,600. Active value performance exhaust. I don't know if it's a value if it's $1,200, but sure, why not?
I think that's active valve performance exhaust.
This is value, active value.
We're on the Monroney. That's a typo.
This is active value. It gives me value.
Okay.
Is that what it actually says?
No. On the Monroney,
it gives you value.
On the Monroney, it says active valve. Okay. But on the paper, like they said it's
value.
It's active value.
As opposed to those
on the Monroney, it says active valve.
It gives you value with an active valve.
Yeah, but so while they're typing it, they mistook the second V for a U.
Yeah.
So valve turns into value like that. like that. I can't hurt my thumb. Yeah. So at the end of the day, $47,590. Probably wouldn't buy a Mustang for that much money, to be honest. I would probably just get, you know, I'm a cheap man. I would get the cheap version, put a few things on there.
Get the $31,000 one. Go and buy a single Recaro seat for the driver's position.
Yeah,
and you're good.
And I'm good. That's it. That's all you need. Yeah. Boom. And get some active value exhaust. I don't even care about the exhaust note. Don't care. Don't care about any of that. Doesn't do anything for me. Yeah. I'm not 18 anymore.
and if it's not a V8 exhaust, it doesn't really matter anyway.
Doesn't really matter. All I care about is how it drives, and this thing drives great. So there you go. EcoBoost Mustang. You want to get something inexpensive. You know, you get what's around 30,000 now. You can get the Mustang, BRZ,
CR-V. V8.
You can see, which is also one of those, you know, cars that people love. So there you go. EcoBoost Mustang. I was gonna say nays, but that would be no. There you go.
Is this what happens when we record late, Robbie V?
Well, I'm awake. I'm so much more awake right now. Typically, when we're recording, that means it's Saturday night, which means I probably stayed up late. And then I have to get up at 7:30 in the morning, and then I just wander my tired butt into my office, and I fire up the thing. And then the first, like, I don't know, hour and a half of the podcast, I'm like, what? What's going on? Who's there? What are we doing? And then the last 5 minutes, I'm like, hey, everybody, I'm ready to rock. So EcoBoost Mustang, it's ready to rock. It's awake, chock full of Red Bull.
Okay, Nicole, what have you been driving?
Mine was not nearly as exciting as Robbie's awake Mustang. I had the Toyota Prius. Woohoo!
Hey, that's pretty exciting. The current generation is.
This is the current gen, and it was the car of the year. The NACTOY car of the year is the Toyota Prius.
Uh-huh. Ooh.
So yeah, just figured I'd mention that while I'm at it. So I don't know if you guys can see this. I feel like they had trouble with the Monroney. I have like nothing but scribbled notes in five different handwriting. It's like everybody's hand.
Five. Everyone gets a chance.
There's like one person scribbled in options price. Somebody else has scribbled in shipping and handling. Someone else has mentioned the rear.
It's like
seat.
A birthday card.
I don't. Yeah, like the entire
like
office.
Like an office been, birthday
right?
card.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Hey, it's a Prius's birthday. Can you put something on? Can you write something?
Somebody add something to this.
Prius is coming. Hide it.
Assuming that the 85 different notes that I have on here are correct, this is the Prius Limited, and it is about $37,000. You guys want to guess at what this person with this handwriting thinks the delivery is?
I'm going to say $995.
$996.
Oh, Robbie wins.
Price is Right rules again.
It's $1095 according to handwriting in blue that's really sloppy. That's what they say. So, like, I feel like I'm like, is this? And it's like very clear and bright red. There's written on both sides, leave in vehicle. I'm like, so they want this to be the official one. Okay. It's perplexing. So the Prius Limited, the color is beautiful. This is this reservoir blue. It's this bright, bright, bright blue color. But I drove it up to Killington and it's dirty white. It looks disgusting, but it was really pretty when I got it. So this one has it has all the features: that heated and ventilated front seats, a heated steering wheel. You have a snazzy little wireless charging. It's nice. This is sort of like a fancier version of the Prius. And this is not the Prius Prime, which is the plug-in. This is just Yieldy Prius.
Regular old
is it
Prius.
All-wheel drive or front-wheel drive?
I do not believe this was all-wheel drive. And I took it all the way to, like I said, Killington, Vermont in the snowy snow. And it was fine. And it was funny. The roads weren't that bad. I'm like, it's going to be fine. We're not getting a snowstorm, whatever. I'm not worried about this at all. And I get there and like the parking lot at the Killington Grand Hotel or whatever. I'm like, oh, did you guys forget how snowplows work? I'm like, this could be a problem. But the parking lot was packed. So I literally drove into Valet. I'm like, this year's now. Have fun finding a way and a spot to park this in because I can't do this. But it handled fine. And there actually was a good chunk of slushy, messy snow on a lot of the parking lot at this hotel. So the thing with the Prius, fuel economy. It gets 52 city, 52 highway, 52 combined. So 52 is your lucky number when you're driving the Prius.
What did you get?
I got just about 52 because what happened was
Well, it's cold, right?
Well, it was going. I mean, was averaging
clearly there's snow somewhere.
I was averaging higher, but then as soon as you get into the mountains, you're like, you're in the mountains, and it's like, wee, and that's the drawback to the Prius.
There's
when you are heavy on the gas, although it's fine, if, like, if you're heavy on the gas on the highway to pass someone, it will pass them. It lets you know it disapproves loudly because it's a little bit loud. But when you get into the mountains, you're, you know, I'm truly, Killington is giant mountains, just many of them. And you're just going up these really steep roads everywhere you go in that whole area, and it just eats into the fuel economy. So then it starts to, but then as soon as I get back on the highway to come home, starts to edge right back up. So all in all, I mean, if your fuel economy is your priority, it's great. It's very comfortable. It's very quiet, as long as you're not mashing on the gas. And I enjoy driving it. The things I didn't enjoy about the Prius, aside from that being just too loud when you're, you know, when you're really heavy on the gas, I do not like the gear shift. You guys have both driven this, right?
I haven't driven it yet.
Have you really? You haven't driven this?
I got to call it in, and I just haven't gotten around to it. No.
I understand the Mustang.
I'm a very lazy man.
Mustang was higher.
The new job is that. Well, this is the one they offered me. The new job is very busy. I'm doing lots of. I'm moving and shaking. You can expect exciting things from SAE, thanks to me. But it also means I'm just like, oh, should I call this in?
Should I do this? You've driven it though, Sam, because I know you had to drive it for judging too. I find the gear shift a little fiddly. So there's a button that you just push for park, and then there's a very short gear shift. It's maybe 2 inches tall. It's very short, and it's just like you're tapping it. It's this tiny little thing. But then also, it's not just like shift to reverse, shift to drive. It's like over and up for reverse, and like over and down for drive. And then to neutral, I still can't figure out.
Same basic thing on Priuses for a long time.
I don't like it.
No, it's not. It's not great.
And here's the funny thing. So because
they looked at the old Volkswagen gear like pattern, they're like, you know what? Let's do that.
Let's do this craziness.
Remember back in the day?
I needed to do some video of it after I got back from Killington, and it was so filthy. I'm like, I can't even pass this off as, hey, it's New England, because you can't tell there's a car underneath all the salt. So I took it through the car wash, and I know how to do the gear shift. I'm like, hold on a second. This is not my car, and I'm having a little trouble. And I'm like fighting to get it in neutral to go through the car wash. I'm like, oh, dear God, this cannot be how I go out. Come on, get into neutral.
Oh, no.
Finally got it in neutral, and the guy was laughing. He's like, they used to be so easy. I'm like, they're not anymore. So I did win, but I think it should not be this. It's just finicky. It's not easy. And I suppose once you drive it a lot, you get used to it. So that was really my main gripe about this.
That's fine. That's not that bad. Once you're in park or drive, that's all you need.
That's all you really need.
Never go in reverse.
Don't ever go through the car wash. And I do love that so the teeny tiny gear shift, and then there's a couple of cup holders, and then there's a spot for storage that's just about big enough for putting, like, say, like a woman's wallet. You know, it's got a little space, but it lifts up. Like, you can take that little tray out, and there's hidden storage. It's maybe an inch or so deep. It's like a small tray. Like, you could tuck your cell phone probably in there. And it's just a little hidden, and then you put it back.
Like
in.
A cookie or a brownie, maybe?
You could put a brownie, for sure a brownie.
For sure
brownie. It depends on the size of the cookie. Brownies are pretty standard size. I feel like a brownie. But if it was iced, it might squinch against the top. Like, you might have ice.
Don't get iced.
Unice brownie. You'll be okay. At the very worst, you get a little bit of like compression going on to your brownie.
More brownie compression.
But it would still be okay. So I like that it has that little extra bit of storage. And I do love how the wireless charging works, because it's not flat. It sits like at an angle on its side. So when you snug it into the wireless charging, it's snugged in there. So if you take a turn, or if you brake hard for some reason, your phone doesn't go shooting off of the wireless charging pad to wherever it goes in the car, underneath your foot, underneath your passenger's foot.
The ones where you have to shove it straight in. So you can't even get your phone while you're driving. I like those ones.
This is, you can still get to it, and it goes in not like tall, like sideways, and it snugs in there, and it holds it pretty. You can still reach it if you needed to reach it, but it's not going
to
slide around. And I appreciate wireless charging that holds your phone tight, so you don't lose your phone, because there's nothing worse. You're like, oh, it's in the wireless charger. No, it's not. It's on the
passenger side. If it's like a flat plane, like right on top of the center console,
those
with like a tiny, like like 5 millimeters.
And also the like center, edge. The center console.
Like you hit a bump, it flies off.
Well, because you inevitably you move to reach something and you're like, whoo, and you've shot it off with your own elbow halfway into the back seat of the car. Right? Or you lift up the center console and you're like, oh crud, my phone. Now it's like again in the back seat of the car. So I liked how that worked. But overall I like the Prius. I mean, it's a solid vehicle and I think it looks so much better than the old one. Oh, I love that they...
But the like, it's a low bar.
It was a low bar, but still it was a bar that Toyota refused to cross for such a long time. It's like, we are leaving this weird back end on this car.
They didn't care.
They are keeping this. And it's like, please, Toyota, please. And they
sell them like hotcakes.
I know. And now, like they're attractive hotcakes instead of hotcakes your toddler made.
Yeah, well, now they're competing against themselves, really. If you get the Prius or literally anything else that Toyota makes,
there's so many. That's the thing. Like there was a time when the Prius, looking weird and wonky, it stood out and said, "Well, this is the hybrid. Who's hybrid? No, it's the one. This is the one everyone's getting. This is your hybrid vehicle." That's not the case anymore. Now it's like this is one of your hybrids in addition to the many that everybody offers.
So I
like the Prius.
Got a couple questions for you. First of all, the instrument cluster. So this has the same instrument cluster arrangement as the BZ4X, where it sits above the steering wheel, you know, at the end of like this sort of channel on the top of the dashboard. For you in your seating position, was it visible or was it being blocked by the steering wheel?
I can't believe I forgot to mention that. It does get partly blocked by the steering wheel. So I futzed around trying to make the seat just right. And I can in no way ever see the entire thing perfectly unless I want my seat adjustment completely off. I have to sacrifice some little bit. I just can't, no matter how far forward or back or how far up or down, it just don't work. It just won't work. And I had my best friend was with me, who was like, God, I don't know, she's a couple inches taller than I am maybe. And I was complaining about it. And she's like, you can't. And I made her sit in that seat. And she just adjusted up and down. She's like, how is this supposed to work? I'm like, I don't know. You're the consumer. You figure it out. She's like, this is ridiculous. She gave up. So she couldn't get it. So it's not like you can't, you can drive. Obviously you can see it. But it's like,
you can see the road.
Line. It's not like, oh, it feels like I'm going about 55. Let's see what happens when I pass that stadie. No, you can see it, but it is
slightly obstructed or difficult to get through.
Yeah. And I think it's going to depend on your height. Like literally how you drive. It's because you're going
to
be
and, your head. You know, if you're somebody that likes to drive with the steering wheel, like literally right on your lap or, you know, up a little bit higher, you know, it's going to have an impact.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. So that is a little bit weird.
I am a big fan of this, the tiny little dash cluster right on the steering column, like in the ID4. That's that's probably my favorite part of the ID4. Because no matter what, wherever I have the steering wheel, I can see how fast I'm going.
The wheel's never going to block that cluster.
And then, of course, you also get this nice, clean front. So you get that clean front that, you know, that Volvo and Tesla and VinFast have. But you still have, you know, just
you have the information,
the relevant information that I need. I need to know how fast I'm going, like if I need to go left or right. And then I think they also have the, the ADAS information right over there.
Oh, that was it. So here's my one room. I'm backing out of my driveway. There's maybe an inch of snow on the ground on either side of my car, if that. Maybe. Mm-hmm. And I was close to the edge of my driveway and the 1 inch of snow. And it like was like, brake! Ah! Like, I literally thought
rear emergency braking?
Yes. Yeah. And I had a moment. I thought, did I just brain cramp? Am I about to hit my own mailbox? And I look, I'm like, what? What is it braking for? And I, even in the picture, I'm on the pavement, but it's determined that scary 1 inch of snow is apparently too close.
It's all shiny.
And it literally scared the daylights out of me because I thought I'm clearly missing something because I'm not hitting anything. I'm in my own driveway. Yeah.
It's Frosty.
Snow.
Don't kill Frosty. So it brings such joy to children.
It was a little aggressive on the rear automatic braking.
At least they don't have the where the rear, you know, boop. There's the Prius a couple of
generations. They do that too.
Where the noise was inside the car. Okay, if it's outside the car, I'm fine with that.
It's but no it was longer in,
It made no sense.
It's no longer the call is coming from inside the house. No, it's outside the
it's
car
just to
now.
Warn which, everyone in the car that you're backing up.
Yeah, it's like, is it just, you know, we're moving backwards. Yeah, I always find that so that was weird. And they did get
it was
rid
a
of
weird
that.
Decision.
Now it's just outside. Now they heard us complaining about it enough. Like, why do we do that? I don't know. That was a goof. Let's change that.
That was odd. That was
odd. So I have another question for you, Nicole.
Okay, go for it.
All right. With the sleek styling of this new Prius, it means it has a very steeply raked windshield.
Yes.
And I'm curious, did your husband, Russ, has he tried to get in and out of this car?
He did get in and out of it. In fact, he went out to dinner this evening.
Okay.
He doesn't have a problem getting in and out of it. He does okay. So getting in and out was not an issue. But I did find the way in terms of being able to see past that A-pillar, because the steep angle of that windshield, like you're saying, they've done a little cutout, like that little triangular cutout, mm-hmm. very close to where that pillar meets the front, like meets the dashboard, to try to give you a little bit more visibility. Because if it didn't, you would just have this blocked out corner. But it is still a little hard sometimes when you're making tight corners, the way it sort of is. You're doing like, I got to lean forward a little bit more than I think, or lean backwards a little bit more to get past that, because it does cut your vision just a little bit.
Yeah, because like when I went to the media launch drive for the Prius Prime last mm-hmm. spring, I know, a number of people that were there, of various body shapes and sizes, had a little bit more of a struggle getting in and out of the new Prius. Yeah.
Russ did okay. His 6'3" frame was okay getting it. Or if he didn't like it, he did not voice his opinion, which would be very unlike him as he climbs into a media car and now let me know he's displeased.
Like,
so I think he did okay.
He obviously didn't bonk his head or anything.
He
on
did
the
not
pillar.
Bonk his head. No, he did not.
Well, that's good. All right.
I miss the little vents that you would have in those little A pillar windows, the mm-hmm. little triangle vents, and you turn.
Oh, you could pop
them
open.
You pop it open. Yeah.
Those are cool. Those are neat. I always liked those when I was a kid.
Could you get the window open with that? Like it's been raining and
just like a little wind. Like a and tiny like, little bit. It was like your
if I roll down the window, it just rains inside the car because it's so windy. It's just on my face. But if I had one of those little vents, I could pop it open.
Boop. I know what you're talking about. Those are cool.
Anyway, that's old person stuff. Sorry.
It is.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently. By using more sustainable practices. By developing better technologies. We keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Did you know you can support Wheel Bearings directly? Head to patreon.com/wheelbearingsmedia and you can become a patron today. Your contributions will help fund the platforms and tools we use to bring the podcast to you. And exclusives and improvements are already on the way thanks to your generosity. So if you want to be part of an automotive podcast like no other, head to patreon.com/wheelbearingsmedia.
All right. You know what? I just realized I forgot to
drive your car.
No, I drove it, but I forgot to open up the Monroney. So give me a second here. So I have a 2023 Lexus LX 600 ultra luxury.
Whoa.
Yeah. So it's not just luxury, it's ultra luxury.
Ooh, that's the fanciest.
It is the fanciest. Boy, this thing's expensive. I was kind of shocked at how much this thing costs. I was out in the driveway yesterday chatting with one of my neighbors after we came back from walking the dogs. And so he was asking how much this thing goes for. And I said, you know, to be honest, I'm not sure because I hadn't looked it up yet. And so I reached under the glove box and found the Monroney. $131,090.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Really?
That's a starting price.
No, this is the top trim level of the current generation.
This is
a 2023 model. I was looking at the Lexus website. The 2024 actually they raised the price. It's up over $134,000 now for the Ultra Lux.
Is it really?
It is. Yes. It starts at like $93,000.
$93,915. I just pulled up the website. Not that I wasn't believing you, but maybe I wasn't believing you. So
like maybe he's drunk.
Maybe Sam's had too much to drink. $93,000?
Yeah.
Ultra luxury. $134,490 for the
Ultra
luxury.
In the name. We should have known better.
Wow. So the LX is one of two Lexus SUVs that are based on the Toyota Land Cruiser. But, you know, the Land Cruiser, there's actually multiple variations of the Land Cruiser that are sold globally. You know, the one that we get here, the new one that's launching here, as well as the previous generation and the GX, the Lexus GX, which we'll talk about in a few minutes. They're all based on the Land Cruiser 200 series. The LX is based on the Land Cruiser 300 series, which is the top end of the Land Cruiser lineup. And then, you know, the LX, is even more above the Land Cruiser. I don't know what the current pricing is for a Land Cruiser 300 series, but, you know, this is like the ultra luxury version, as the name implies. Which, you know, means it comes with an absolutely ridiculously ginormous grill. I mean, this is the ultimate iteration of the Lexus spindle grill. And, you know, once they released this thing a couple of years ago, they finally started paring down the spindle grill a little bit, you know, and the new TX and the RX and the new GX, you know, it's gotten toned down, which is a good thing. It's absolutely a good thing because this grill on the LX, it is, it's something.
It's a grill, man. It's huge.
It's a lot. Yeah. The current gen LX, like most of the rest of these, the truck body on frame Toyota and Lexus vehicles, is using a 3.4 liter twin turbo V6, 409 horsepower. 469 foot-pounds of torque. So lots of performance in this thing. 10-speed automatic transmission. Because it is based on a Land Cruiser, that means it has full-time four-wheel drive. And it's, you know, this thing at least nominally has some serious off-road capabilities. I don't think I would actually want to take this one very far off-road, because it's on these massive aluminum wheels with street tires, low profile street tires.
Would not be ideal.
And yeah, you wouldn't get very far. You'd have plenty of ground clearance. You just wouldn't have any traction off road with these things.
Yeah. And you pop a tire at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it probably wouldn't take you very long to pop a tire. 22 inch forged alloy wheels. They look really pretty.
Small wheels.
Having an SUV with, you know, locking center differential, full-time four-wheel drive, all that good stuff, and then 22-inch wheels with low profiles, all-season tires, seems like a weird combination. But, you know, it's there. And you've got drive modes. You've got rock and dirt you know, off-road modes and things like that. Hill descent control, all the good stuff. It's got an adjustable suspension. I have no idea how much adjustability it has because the specs don't say how much ground clearance. It only says at the low end, it's like 9.5 inches of ground clearance. It doesn't say what the maximum ground clearance is, but I was out taking some photos of it this afternoon and put it all the way up. And it's quite a bit more. It's probably somewhere around 13 or 14 inches of ground clearance with, mm-hmm. with the suspension all the way up and you know, in the off-road modes. So that's good. Got a 12.3 inch center touchscreen for the infotainment with the latest Lexus infotainment system, which is basically the same system that's in that Prius and most other new Toyotas and Lexuses, which is a good thing. It's a very good system. Got support for wireless CarPlay and Android Auto, wireless charging pad, the shifter is a perfectly normal one. Just as it should be.
Just a perfectly normal shifter.
Yeah, you shift it, you pull it back to go to reverse, pull it back a little more for neutral, a little more for drive, and then you go all the way back for park. So it's it's a good shifter. When you get the Ultra Lux version of the LX, one thing you don't get is seating for five. You only have four seats in this thing because there's a big giant center console in the rear seat. So it's got this, it's weird because this thing is almost set up, you know, like a, like an executive limousine, you know, so you get mm-hmm. two individual seats in the back that are really nice seats. They have heat and cooling and massaging in the rear seats. And it just seems like a weird combination with this, particular vehicle, but it is what it is. And they are also reclining, for those rear captain's chairs, no third row in this, which is fine because you have a nice big cargo area, back there. Let's see, active height control, the Mark Levinson sound system.
Did you have the ottoman in the back seat?
You know, I'm not sure. I didn't check. I'll have to check. There may be an ottoman in the back seat. I know you can put the front passenger seat forward, from the right rear seat. You can push it forward, and that center console in the back has a touchscreen, for the rear passengers to adjust, things like the climate control. And also it's got, the displays on the back of the front seats. So you can control the media. So for example, if your driver decided, you know, I'm going to put an Android Auto, plug in Android Auto or CarPlay, listen to some podcasts, and somebody in the backseat decides, no, I want to listen to something on Sirius XM or something else, they can control the infotainment system from the backseat. So there's that. So you might want to think about that if you have kids that you're going to be carrying around in the LX600 Ultra Luxury.
Mm-hmm. Fancy children.
Yeah, you get 8,000-pound towing capability. You get all the things that you would expect of a Land Cruiser, and a whole lot more luxury. So there's that. Oh, and it's also not very fuel efficient. The EPA rating is 17 city, 22 highway, 19 combined. I'm getting about 16 to 17 right now. Yeah, it's not particularly impressive, but to be fair, none of the other Toyota and Lexus trucks with the twin turbo V6 are particularly fuel efficient either. They're powerful, but not great on gas.
Yeah.
No. So, that is, oh, and the paint, this one is finished in Nori Green Pearl, which is a fantastic color. It's a pearlescent dark green.
I think that's what they have on the site for that one.
Yeah, it looks pretty.
It looks beautiful.
It's a really good looking color. So you know, if you're going to spend $130,000 on a Lexus SUV, you definitely want to have it in a good color. You don't want a boring silver or black or or white. You know, get the Nori Green Pearl. Absolutely, it's worth
it. Do it.
So that is the 2023 Lexus LX600. The 2024 is the same except it costs more, so no changes, just more expensive. All right. Let's continue talking about Lexus SUVs. Nicole, you yes. got to drive the 2025 Lexus GX, which is based on the smaller Land Cruiser 200 series.
It's 2024. Isn't it 2024?
Is it 24 or 25?
I think it's 24. I think it's 24, Lexus. You said 25. I'm like, wait, I think it's 24. Okay. It's the new one, which I think is actually 24. Yes. I did get to drive it. Did you drive it too, Sam? Or did you
I did not. I got. Okay. I didn't fit my schedule.
Okay, no worries. So they took us out to Arizona to drive this. First of all, the styling on it looks fabulous. I mean, the grill is still a Lexus grill, but like you're talking about, way toned down. Like it no longer is that like out of control, going to eat you alive grill that it was before. But it's still, all these SUVs are going with that very squared off, boxy kind of look, and it does that. It's very Defender-y, I think.
Yeah, everyone looked at the Defender and like, ooh.
Right, like this thing looks good.
I mean, you could. I think you could make the case that really what they're copying, is classic Land Cruiser.
That's true
going back
too.
To classic Land Cruiser.
It's true. That's true design. Too. So I love how it looks. I think it looks fantastic. And they have, no matter which one you get, you've got four wheel drive, so you have some off road capability. But they introduced two new trims, not just for this, but to Lexus overall, the Overtrail and the Overtrail Plus, which are the two most off-road trims of the lot. They had, and I just drew a blank on what it was called because it's a ridiculous name. I'm going to pull it up while I'm talking to you. It has an electronic locking rear diff that you get on these. It also has this suspension system that has the worst name. It's like kinetic,
Dynamic suspension system. It's the E-Kids.
Did you just find? You just found it. Thank
I looked
you.
It up. The
okay,
E-Kids.
I'm like, I can't look it up fast enough. So that gives you even more. Like it basically opens things up so that you can. Your articulation is better if you're driving in really technical conditions and you don't have to do anything to tell it that. It's like, oh, she needs this. Boom, and it'll do what it needs to do.
Can I just say something? A little tangent here. Kinetic dynamic. I mean, that's kind of redundant. Kinetic means it's moving.
It's also dynamic
implies motion
it's
as well.
Electric kinetic dynamic suspension. Yeah, electric kinetic
suspension.
I guess they couldn't decide whether to go with kinetic or dynamic. So, let's just throw them both on.
Well, the kids, words. You can get key kids if you do both of them. Because it'd be their e-kiss or it'd be e-dis. But e-kids, that sounds exciting.
No matter how you say it.
Electronic children.
I love the engineering man is like, wait 1 second. There's duplicate.
Let me tell you about redundancy. The ATM machine.
So aside from that, so that you get that only in the Overtrail and Overtrail Plus. The kind of interesting thing too is, so this is a 3-row SUV, not in the Overtrail and the Overtrail Plus. They chose to make those 2 rows and only 2 rows. But the way that it's laid out, you have more cargo room. Because of that, your cargo room behind that second row is actually better than the cargo room behind the second row in the 3-row version. And the idea being, if you're overlanding in your Overtrail, you're going to want that extra room for holding all sorts of stuff that you need to bring along. So it kind of makes sense. Even if you go with the 3-row version, though, you have very comfortable seating. It's very Lexus-y inside. The back seats are a little on the tight. The third row is a little on the tight side. But in all these vehicles, you're not really riding in the third row as an adult for long lengths of time. You know, it's the short thing. The kids are back there, or you're stuck back there for a short trip because you have a bunch of friends or something. But still, it's a nice, comfortable, attractive interior. It still feels very Lexus. It rides very Lexus. And the Overtrails, we did drive those off-road in Arizona. And weirdly enough, Arizona got torrential rain the day before my particular wave of the drive. So they had multiple courses set up for us to drive, and they had to axe one of them because they had set up all this stuff and it was just like mud. Mud is what you have. And it didn't actually do any of the sort of technical stuff they wanted you to try. But they did still take us up some, steep terrain. We got to feel the articulation. We got to feel it going, down relatively steep and up relatively steep. It does have off-road capability. It is not just a grocery getter that makes you think it's an off-road vehicle. If you want to go off-road in this, you absolutely can. And it's nice that it lets you do that, but then you can turn around and use it as a grocery getter or as the car to take for the family vacation or road trip to grandma's or whatever. And it's still nice and comfortable and quiet and plush seating and just has that sort of quiet drive, that sort of calm very reserved drive that you have with Lexus. It has plenty of power. The engine in this one is changed up. Wait, I should have had all these figures ready. It has a 3.4 liter twin turbo V6, 349 horsepower, 479 pound feet of torque. So it's got a good bit of oomph. And now it used to be a 6-speed, I believe, automatic. Now it's a 10-speed. So that makes the whole process, if you really hammer the gas, it's quieter and more well-mannered as it gets up to speed, is basically what those, all those extra gears in the transmission do for you.
It's the same. It's the same powertrain that's in the LX, but just with a little less, with 60 less horsepower.
Right. So not as much horsepower. So it's well-mannered. I mean, I like it. I enjoy driving this. I think it's a comfortable, it's comfortable. It's capable. I truly do like the styling on this. I think it looks so much. I think they've done a good job in taking some of the Lexus. And like you said, Sam, they went so bazonkers with the grill for a while. They're like, look at our Lexus spindle grill. And everyone's kind of like, we'd rather not. Can you tone it down just a skosh for us? Like, we appreciate you've done your best. But can you just bring that down a notch? And pricing on this one, way more affordable than what you had on the Lexus you were driving. It starts at just over 64,000 and tops out at 81,000. And that's actually that's for the luxury plus. The Overtrail is about 70 and the Overtrail plus is 77. So the off-road trims are not the most expensive trims in the mix. They have luxury trims that are the more expensive trims, but there's
the
still,
off-road one. What if society collapses? You're not going to need luxury.
You're not going to need luxury. You're going to need capability. And they did up the tow ratings and they changed them. I'm trying to see if I have, because initially they had their internal tow ratings for things. And then they said, oh no, wait, we're going to have our official, SAE certified, whatever.
Wait a second. I know that place.
Yeah. These
guys. What we're doing.
They like rate this stuff and have official ways of doing it so that it's all level across all the automakers. Here we go. So it's
kind of a big deal. Just
it's a big deal. And so the max tow rating, they initially came out with 8,000, but once you guys did your thing, it's like over 9,000 pounds now. And it depends very much on the trim. Like there's like 7 or 8 different numbers, all depending on exactly which configuration you get. Either way, huge jump over what it could tow before. So that's also a bonus, especially if you're going to be doing some overlanding in your Overtrail.
And, the Overtrail, unlike the ultra luxury LX, it's got proper wheels and tires for going off road.
Yeah.
33 inch tires with big, tall sidewalls, 18 inch wheels.
Nice, beefy sidewalls.
Yes. Yeah.
It looks like it's designed to go off road. So you're not looking at if I take this off road, I'm going to ruin stuff. No. Well, I mean, you might do a little bit of scratches to the side of your car, depending on what's around you, but you're going to be able to get through things. You're going to be okay. You have the right tool for the job.
Yeah. You can, it's okay. If you're going to go off roading, it's okay to occasionally sacrifice some paint.
Yes. In fact, you should resign yourself to that. If you're planning on taking your car, any car whatsoever off-road, you have to know that it is going to get, what do they call it, the desert pinstriping? You're going to get little little marks, little scratches as you go along little from that bitty, one bitty rogue things. Branch that's just gone all along. You just let it go.
And you can't stop and back up because then it'll just like make a little U. At least if it's one line.
Yeah. Then it's in like a little pinstripe, right?
If you stop and back up, you're just going to make it way worse.
You are going to make it way worse.
Just keep going.
Just go. There it is.
Grit your teeth. Grit your teeth and just keep moving.
Just keep going and know that people will know that you actually used your capable vehicle to do capable things.
Or you've angered an ex-partner. One or the other. Someone's either keyed your car or...
Could go either way.
Or you're using it for its intended purpose.
Yeah.
Exactly. So looking
at the photos of this thing, I just remembered one other thing that I forgot to mention about the LX that was a bit of an annoyance. For $130,000 ultra luxury SUV, it has fixed running boards. I would expect at that price point that it would have retractable running boards.
Retractable running boards.
Yeah. And just seems a little out of place.
I think we're just going to say the GX is the better deal.
Yeah, I think so. I agree.
Let's get the GX. You don't need, it looks cooler. It does cooler things.
I would get the GX between the two.
They got a photo with one and a dog in the back. You can get a dog. You'll feel fine putting a dog in it versus your $134,000 version.
And
ultra luxury.
And this thing will probably survive Michigan potholes better than the LX Ultra.
Oh, yeah.
It probably will. Yeah. Yes.
There you go.
So overall, I think this is great. I mean, it moves things forward in the right direction. It's the next iteration. It feels like it should, you know, sometimes they move it, they're like all new, and you're like, this isn't that much better. It's changed, but not better. This is actually better.
Yeah. No, I'm I just want to bring out that baby FJ Cruiser EV.
You're just waiting on it.
It's Toyota for their hitting, you know, start and stopping when it comes to EVs. Like all their concept EVs are so cool looking. I'm like, come on, guys.
Just make one, please.
Just make the cars. Come on.
So this week, Ford and Lincoln have both revealed updates to their three-row SUVs, the Explorer and the Aviator. And, they've basically done the same kinds of stuff to both of them. They gave them bigger new grills. Surprise, surprise. the rest of the sheet metal is basically unchanged. You know, so, I mean, they still look pretty much the same as they did, except for a new face. You know, the Aviator's got the same kind of new Lincoln face that we saw on the Nautilus, and you know that they've done on some of the Lincoln models in China.
It looks like a Lincoln.
Yeah, looks like a newer Lincoln.
It looks like a Lincoln.
And yeah, you know, same with the Explorer. Kind of the same kinds of things they've been changing on Ford models in Europe and China and elsewhere. So bigger grills, new dashboards in both of them. One of the complaints with the current Explorer when it came out in 2019 was that, you know, the interior materials felt kind of cheap, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of hard plastics, and given the price point, you know, it seemed a little out of place. That wasn't of course the case with the Aviator. The Aviator, you know, definitely felt premium, but you know, it's also a lot more expensive. Mm-hmm. One big change for both of these vehicles, they both get the new Ford digital experience infotainment system, or in the case of the Aviator, the Lincoln digital experience, but it's the exact same system. Yeah. So this is the system that's based on Android Automotive. And it's the same basic software that's in the Nautilus that we talked about a week or two ago. But these vehicles don't have the big coast-to-coast display, although they do have a larger portrait style display. They both have a 13-inch display in the center of the dash, a landscape display. And that was one of the other complaints on the Explorer. You know, I think when they were designing the current Explorer, they originally intended to only do it with an 8-inch landscape display in the dashboard. And then at some point in the program, once it was too late for them to move the center vents that were on either side of that display, they decided, oh, we need to have a larger 10-inch display in this thing. So they put in a 10-inch portrait style display that always looked a little out of place in there. And the software was never quite the interface was never quite laid out right for mm-hmm. that display. So it never seemed to work just the way it should. But those are all gone. So all Explorers now get the same larger grill. Same larger touchscreen, and same thing for the Aviator. They all get the larger touchscreen with the new infotainment system. So this has got Google services built in. And they also both lose some stuff. No more hybrids available. No plug-in hybrid Grand Touring in the Aviator, and no hybrid in the Explorer. The only way you can get a hybrid Explorer for 2025 is to get a police Explorer.
There you go. You got to be a cop.
Yep.
Did they say what the reason was for that? Did they give any?
They said the take rate for consumer Explorer sales was very low. It was like less than 5% for the hybrids.
Okay.
There was more demand from police forces, police agencies that were buying Explorers. They wanted more mm-hmm. hybrids because those vehicles spend a lot of time sitting around idling, And so with the hybrid, they can do that with the engine turned off for extended periods of time. Mm-hmm. So, and they, you know, they like the better fuel efficiency they get with that. So the cops can have the hybrid Explorers, consumers cannot, unless you wait a couple of years till used ones, you know, used cop Explorers get into the market. And same with the Grand Touring, Aviator. There, you know, there just wasn't a very high take rate on those. I don't think they ever sold more than, you know, more than about 1,000 of those a year over the last several years, which was not very good. So they've discontinued that. And then one other thing that's gone from both of these, is physical controls for climate control. That's all been moved to that center strip of the touchscreen.
Okay. Oh, the sad noise is coming from Nicole.
I'm not pleased with this.
Yeah, I know.
Using the climate control on the Mustang, I was like, I missed that Impreza. I just want buttons and knobs.
Yeah, and it's funny. Ford is doing this just as a lot of other automakers are going back to
the other direction.
Physical controls for climate.
Yeah,
just a step behind there.
Yep, a little out of phase. So you know, the Explorer becoming out this spring, and I think the Aviator a little bit behind that. I think you can order the 25 Explorers now. And then the Aviators, I think, are a month or two behind the Explorers.
They do look better. I like the styling on that Explorer. It is, I think it's greatly improved it looks like the interior, and you saw it live and in person. So it seems like even in the pictures,
the interior is definitely
this
much
looks
better.
Actually decent now. This looks good now.
Yeah. And actually, you know, they've made a bunch of changes in the layout and the dashboard of the Explorer. So one thing you may notice in the photos, there's this fabric area across the top portion of the dash, across the front of it, which is basically the same as on the Mach-E. So what they've done is they've embedded a bunch of speakers in there so that that top portion of the dash is basically a sound bar.
It makes me totally think of a sound bar. It looks like that.
There's actually speakers embedded behind that fabric there. And then for the center vents, instead of them being on either side of the touchscreen, they're now moved together and down below the touchscreen. And then there's a nice little shelf that sticks out underneath that. So just below that, you do have...
It's got like a little extra cubby.
Yeah. So you still got the physical... the rotary volume knob there and a couple of other switches for hazard lights and things like that. Climate controls, like I said, are in the screen, but then you've got this little cubby there. The wireless charging pad is in there. You could stick some other things in there. So it's a nice extra little storage space there.
Very cool. Yeah. I'm excited to see this one in person eventually.
Yeah. They've simplified the lineup now. They added an active trim, but they have ST line and ST and platinum. The Timberline off-roady version that they had before is gone.
Wait, how long did they even have that? That didn't make
2 years,
I
think.
At all.
Yeah,
I felt like that was introduced and it's already gone. Wow, that was
no one was buying it.
They did show us a teaser image when I was there at the event, showing just the front wheel of an Explorer, and said coming soon, and the front wheel. One of the pockets in the wheel was trimmed in like a goldish, yellowish color, which is, so it's the same design that they have on the Maverick Tremor. So presumably
Explorer Tremor.
Presumably they're going to go with the Tremor branding for the off-road.
That was the one as opposed to the
Explorer.
Timber line. Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. Why not?
Okay.
and both the Explorer and the, Aviator are now also available with Blue Cruise. So you get hands-free driving assist.
Blue Cruise.
Well, that's cool. I'm
telling you, I never know what to do with my hands. I just leave them on the steering wheel. I don't
know. Around.
Like, do I just put them in my lap? What do I do with these things now? And then I just give up and put them in and just put them on the steering wheel.
So yeah, same engines, the 2.3 liter EcoBoost and the 3 liter EcoBoost for the ST with 400 horsepower.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay. Next up, another SUV, the new Mazda CX-70 for 2025.
Yes.
This was kind of a weird reveal. They did a very small event somewhere in California, had a few people there where they actually got to see the thing in person.
Well, they did one in New York City too.
Did they? Oh, okay.
Because I went to the one in New York City.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. And it was okay. This weird, they flew you in and it was like, here's your slot to do some content creation in, you know, and then no one else is there. So it was small. It wasn't like a full presentation. It was just like, here's the car.
Yeah, they gave us a link to a video, a virtual reveal. You know,
yeah.
did the walk around, but they didn't really give very many details. You know?
No.
So one thing I saw, I think it was on the TFL video.
Yeah.
They mentioned that. This is the same, because when you look at it, it looks exactly the same as the CX-90.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like it might be a little bit smaller, but they didn't give us any dimensions. So is this the same as the CX-90?
I'm with you on the question mark. It kind of looks like it's the same size as CX-90. I'm not sure because they didn't give you any kind of numbers for anything. It was more just here it is, take a look. So there weren't details to really say this is the same size. I don't know. I think it's kind of really just the person who wanted a CX-90 but doesn't want a third row. You know how Lexus just did the Overtrail and Overtrail Plus, same vehicle, just yanked that. It feels like that. And it looks like it, like standing there with it, kind of like. Yeah, I mean, it looks great. They did a nice job. It looks Mazda. It's beautiful. It has all the, and they have a neat little cargo thing in the back there's a little cargo pod underneath the floor in the cargo area. We lift up the floor and you can get a little thing that puts dividers in there. So you can create like three different pods to sort out your stuff and hold it, which is kind of neat. It looks great, but I don't have dimensions, so I don't know, but it didn't, looking
Mystery
at it from
car.
The outside, you didn't look at it and think, oh yeah, that's definitely smaller than the CX-90. You looked at it from the outside and did it like a, tilt your head to side like a dog.
I was looking at all the photos and it's like, and looking at photos of the CX-90 and trying to figure out, is it shorter? Maybe.
Yeah.
It's not by much.
It's not going to be significantly shorter. It definitely isn't one of you look at it and you think, absolutely, this is shorter. There must be a difference, but it's not a big one.
It does have the same powertrain options as the CX-90. So you get the 3.3 liter inline six or the 2.5 liter plug-in hybrid.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, those are good.
Yeah. I think this is really gives you that SUV size, but without the third row. Because a lot of people just want the extra, truly don't want the third row. You just want the extra space. You really just want the extra space for stuff if you're buying an SUV. And if you have, you know, truly when you have kids, you're hauling around all sorts of random stuff all the time. And so that, I mean, you don't necessarily want to haul around extra people. You just want room for their stuff without feeling like you've crammed the car full. So this will do that.
Okay. All right. Well, speaking of plug-in hybrids, GM used to make plug-in hybrids. They don't anymore, but apparently soon they will again. We don't know when, we don't know any details. Just that last week during the fourth quarter earnings call, CEO Mary Barra said, yep, we're going to bring back plug-in hybrids after a couple of years ago saying, nope, we're never going to do hybrids again. So
they're bringing sexy back.
Yeah. So
I don't know how they're bringing sexy back.
I mean, you know, it'd be nice if they brought the Volt back.
Can you imagine? Oh, people lose their minds.
But I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah. I feel like I don't know what GM is doing. Like this surprises me, and yet it doesn't.
I'm pretty sure they don't. At least their product planning team doesn't. Yeah, you know, there's a lot of signs that their product planning team is just in disarray. Mm-hmm. With some of the decisions they've made on their EV lineup, they're now bringing back plug-in hybrids is actually probably not a bad thing for GM, especially, if they put it, do it in their, like their big trucks and SUVs and maybe even the midsize trucks. They could certainly use a boost in fuel economy. So, getting some plug-in hybrids into those vehicles could probably be done fairly quickly, with the body on frame stuff. Mm-hmm. You could package a battery under there, along one side, on the inside of the frame. It'd be a lot easier than on some of the crossovers and stuff. Do the same type of hybrid system that Ford and Toyota and others are doing, in Mazda, Stellantis, where you've got the motor packaged in between the engine and the transmission. I think that's probably a good idea for GM to offer some of those, especially for the trucks. So they could have trucks that still have the ability to tow like a gas mm-hmm. or diesel truck, but, can also do, 25, 30, 35 miles of electric range, for daily driving.
I think doing plug-in hybrids is great. I also kind of think they're the sweet spot for people who are nervous about EVs and who aren't quite ready to say, well, I can live the EV life. You use it as EV-ish when you want to and can charge it, but then, hey, no big deal. You can also fall back on this gas engine. I think they're a great midway, especially given that for large parts of the country, the EV infrastructure isn't quite there to support it. Some places it is, some places it's not. If you're in a place it's not, you don't want to buy an EV, but you'll be happy with this because you don't have the panic. If you can't plug it in charge, you just have a gas engine. So I think it would be a good move. I'm curious how long it will take to make it happen and make it happen so they're halfway decent.
Yeah.
Just bring back, just get the Volt and just throw it back on the line. Exactly.
Guys, don't change anything.
Well, except they already threw that line away because they were building the Volt in the Detroit Hamtramck plant, which they completely gutted to build the EVs.
Silverado.
They gutted Hummer
for the Bolt. They killed the Volt, made the Bolt, killed the Bolt. Now that's going to be Silverado.
Yeah.
Which is the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some poor guy who's taken apart that line and putting it back together is going to be told to make it back to plug-in hybrid.
Come on.
Guys, I just did this.
Just took it apart.
Come on.
The Volt's a good car. Just saying.
Yeah.
If you really want a third generation Volt, you can get one from your local Toyota dealer. It's called the Prius Prime.
It's got like all the same specs as the thing from, it was such a great car. Come on.
You know what I saw today? I saw a Subaru Solterra.
Really?
I did. On the road. I saw one in front of me when I was driving today. And I did a double take. I'm at a traffic light. And I'm like, what is that? What? Holy cow. It's in the wild. The first time I have ever seen one.
I saw a lot of Cybertrucks in Orange County.
I haven't seen any. I don't think we're going to see one here anytime soon. I feel like they're all in your neck of the woods for a while.
Yeah. But
they're in Texas. There's a bunch of them in Texas.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Texas, okay.
And that's where they make them.
And you know, Texas is truck country, so.
Truck country.
I think I'm pretty sure that you know it is a requirement to be a resident of Texas. You must own at least one pickup truck.
At least one truck, any size, any style, but you must have one pickup truck.
That's what Kristen Shaw was saying the other day.
I think Kristen's probably correct.
As soon as you cross the border into Texas, you know you have to
just
buy
throw a truck at you. They just give you an F-150, and they're like, "Okay, we'll see you later, y'all."
All right. The Honda NSX, or as it, the Acura NSX as it's been known in this country, is Honda has indicated that it will be coming back, that there will be a third generation of the NSX, and it'll be electric. And Autocar has an interesting rendering of this thing, or what they expect it to look like.
Is that just their guess?
Yes, that's their guess.
Okay. Good so, Lord. Okay.
Well, this is based on the Series Zero saloon concept that we saw at CES last month.
Yeah.
So
it still looks like a little vacuum thingies. What are those called?
Dustbuster.
Thank you. It's still got a little Dustbuster vibe. It's that rectangular, perfectly rectangular front.
Yeah.
Like the way that's it's the Dustbuster, the Honda Dustbuster.
Dustbuster.
I don't know that it'll look like that, but this looks like a Dustbuster.
Tell you, the Dustbuster looked way better in person. I'm just going to tell you.
Did it really?
Yeah, it looked much cooler in person.
Did it actually look like a Dustbuster, or is it just the?
It looked
pictures?
Less like a Dustbuster when you're looking at it. Okay. It looked really like, ooh, this is cool. The picture, you're like, oh, a Dustbuster. I was surprised as well.
Okay, and I'll believe
Honda,
you.
Honda says, you know, a vehicle based on that concept is coming, and very soon, like 2026.
But they said how close to the concept, though. You know, sometimes a concept car looks one way, and then when the actual comes out, you think. What was the skip between here and there? Because they don't look alike at all.
It, you know, it's hard to say. I think, you know, the front end, the basic idea that we get from that concept is going to survive. That so, you know, something like
the
what we see in this rendering.
Bit.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's going to be there. You know, very sleek overall design. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's going to be a big sedan. It's going to be Honda's flagship, the first one. But it actually... won't even actually be the first of the new EVs. They actually, their first EV that they've designed themselves that isn't off the Ultium stuff, like the Prologue and the Acura ZDX, is actually going to be arriving late 2025, built in Ohio.
Built in Ohio.
Yeah. And then the saloon is coming in 26.
What's round on the end and high in the middle?
O-H-I-O.
Ohio.
Just some Ohio jokes for everybody.
Everybody.
We love you, Ohio.
I only know that joke because of Devo, because Devo's from Ohio. That's all I am. Sorry. The people of Ohio, good job with Devo.
So I don't know if you guys ever watch any of the videos from the Out of Spec YouTube channel. Kyle Connor runs
I've seen some of them, yes.
Yeah. So he and one of the people on his team, like they're based in Colorado, in Golden, Colorado, or maybe Boulder. I think it's Golden. Anyway, they're near Denver, and he and one of the members of his team went to South Carolina last week to try to buy a VinFast VF8 because VinFast announced this screaming lease deal, $249 a month for a VF8.
No money down.
Did they buy
one? Well, that was what they said was no money down. Some money down.
Shh. Well, I mean, that's no money. You still have to pay all these other stupid things.
Yeah. It was actually several thousand dollars that they had to put down.
But, oh, did they really?
Yeah. A couple of grand, I think. Okay. They bought a VF8 and they actually had a very hard time getting the dealer to sell them this car. Because apparently it needed a software update. So like all the cars coming in, you know, into the port and being delivered to dealers need this software update, and they couldn't do the software update yet. And so the dealer didn't want to sell them the car without the software update and said, okay, before I'll sell you this car, you got to go take it for a test drive, you know, drive it for half an hour and make sure that nothing crashes. I mean, the software, not the vehicle, but
not you.
You don't want the vehicle to crash either.
Both of those things.
But you want to make sure the software works. You know, and if it does, then I'll sell it to you. So it actually took them several days to buy this car.
Did it fail the first time they took it out to drive, or
after they bought it? Yes.
After they bought it, fabulous.
Then they had a failure, but they do have it now. So we'll see. I'll include the link to the video in the show notes, so you can check out the adventure that Kyle and Francie had trying to get this thing. I'm sure they'll be following up in the coming weeks and months with more videos about this VF8 to see how it actually does in real world use.
Kudos for Kyle for deciding, let's just go for it.
Let's just go for it.
He's going to get the content, so he's going to get the traffic, which is great. Yeah. But also, you know, how is this vehicle evolving since we drove it? So
And he's bought some interesting EVs recently. There was another video he did a few months ago where, do you guys remember the Koda EV?
Koda, K-O-D-A?
C-O-D-A.
C-O-D-A. No.
So this was one that came out in, I think it was originally announced in like 2007. So it was right around the time I first started riding professionally. And it was an American company, but they were buying this little Chinese compact sedan and getting it converted to electric. And basically, you know, it was one of many EV startups that failed pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. And there were some that were built and shipped over here. And somehow Kyle managed to find a dealer that had essentially a brand new one from 2010.
Oh, this is the one where he. Okay, this story is fun.
It was a dealer somewhere in California that had one sitting in the back of their lot. It'd been sitting there for like 12, 13 years, never sold. And he got it for a song from these guys.
Okay.
And then, you know, drove it back to Colorado. I think he had to replace. I had to replace the 12-volt battery and do some other stuff to it to get it running. But eventually, you know, got it going. So I'll find a link to that one and put that in the show notes as well.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a fun story.
Yeah. Volvo EX30.
Dun, 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 dun.
It's in production. Volvo was already selling them in Europe. But guess what happened?
Surprise. Software problem. Issues.
Yep. They had to pause sales, just like Chevy with the Blazer, and they software issues with it. And so at some point it will hopefully go back on sale when they fix the software.
Well, there is a note at the very bottom of this Engadget story that they did manage to get it fixed and are shipping again to customers. So I guess it was temporarily paused, but it's just, I mean, indicative again of how the software thing is really proving
software is
an
hard
issue. Software is not easy.
Yeah. Mm. So
it's harder than a lot of these automakers realize, and they're all realizing it now.
Yeah. This is the hard way to learn, but they're learning.
Yeah. It's going to be real interesting to see how some of the, you know, I mean, we've seen GM fail. We've seen Volkswagen fail. Volvo has had some failures. Mm-hmm. You know, the next two big ones to watch from legacy automakers are going to be Mercedes-Benz with their MBOS coming next year, and Ford with the stuff they're doing for their next batch of EVs. Mm-hmm. I'll be curious to see if they can succeed where all the other automakers failed. I'm not hopeful.
I'd like to think they would, but I don't know.
I mean, on one hand, you have Mercedes like, we're going to control everything. But on the other hand, well, now you control everything.
Yeah, now you've got it all. What are you going to do with it?
Now what are you going to do with it?
Yeah. It's going to be tough. It's going to be a tough few years. All right. Let's finish up with a couple of Tesla stories. The Cybertruck, you know, it's got those really cool aero wheel covers these custom made Goodyear tires that are with the patterns molded under the sidewalls that fit right in with the wheel covers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, apparently if you actually drive a Cybertruck with those wheel covers on there, the clearance between the wheel covers and the rubber of the sidewall, especially when the tire is rolling over to, you know, the bottom part of the tire that's holding all the weight between the truck and the road. And it, you know, how the tires tend to bulge out a little bit sideways at the bottom. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Apparently the wheel covers are digging into the sidewalls. And so Tesla has stopped shipping those wheel covers and they're recalling them and they're going to be redesigning those wheel covers.
Oops.
Yeah.
You're going to make them. It just seems like
further out. If you make them further out, then you're going to create all this turbulence because now the wheel cover's too further out.
It's going to be, yeah.
Just don't make them with the funny little like teeth that stick out. Just
I mean, it looks fun and funky, but it needs to work.
I just feel like someone would have noticed this in testing.
Because it's not that many.
That presumes that Tesla does, you know, thorough testing on their own. I mean, you know, this is a company that ships beta software to their customers. Yeah. So, you know, clearly they're shipping beta vehicles too. Oof. Beta hardware.
That's not a good look. Oh, yeah. Come on, Tesla.
Womp womp.
So if you have a Cybertruck, please let us know. I'm curious to get your feedback on it. But, you know, if you do, make sure you take those wheel covers off because you don't want those things digging into your sidewalls.
Yeah,
especially if you plan to take the Cybertruck off road. That would not be good because, you know, it's very easy to cut a tire when you're off roading anyway, and you don't want to make it more susceptible to getting cut because got these gouges in the sidewall from the wheel covers.
Yeah, maybe don't use those. I mean, if they're getting recalled, you can send them back and get, I don't know, something else, Tesla tequila. Don't they still have booze or something?
They did have Tesla tequila once upon a time.
Didn't they have a beer too? Didn't they make a beer?
Maybe.
I don't remember the beer. I remember seeing the tequila. I do not remember the beer.
Let's see. I don't know if they still have it. Do they still have the tequila?
I thought it was all limited run and you couldn't get any of it anymore.
Can you still get a boring flamethrower, not a flamethrower?
No, I think those are sold out. They only did like 1,500 of those.
Oh, I remember we got one at Engadget.
Oh, and you can buy the Tesla tequila. Wait, it says
is that on the lifestyle page?
I found a random, I shouldn't say it online because I don't even know if it's reputable. I'm finding random whiskey shops.
Oh, here we go. So there's the drinkware. There's the Cyberstein, which is this weird looking beer stein, clearly inspired by the Cybertruck. And then there's Cyber Beer, and you can get the Cyber Beer and Cyberstein limited edition set for $150.
Is this on Tesla's site?
Yeah. If you look under on the shop and then lifestyle and then drinkware.
Oh, my gosh.
And they have, you know, various other bottles, and they have these Tesla sipping glasses that you have to
those covers.
Which covers?
The wheel covers. Like what kind? Like what's their value?
Oh, I don't know. Probably not much.
You can get the umbrella. I'm just trying to figure out what you can get a trade, like a direct trade for. I guess you can get like the little Cybertruck for kids.
Well, that thing's $1,500, and I'm pretty sure a set of plastic wheel covers is not going to be $1,500.
I don't know.
Probably not.
They might charge you $1,500 to replace a broken one, but that doesn't mean that they're worth that much.
Well, there's a lot of Tesla lifestyle stuff, guys.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, you know, if you're into the Tesla community, you know, do you see the Plaid mug?
Yeah. Why? Oh, Plaid. It took me a second. I'm like, why Plaid? And then I just was like, oh, because. Plaid mode. I get it now. It took me a minute. I'm like,
They have the Cyber Quad for kids available again.
Yeah.
You know, a couple of grand.
Yeah. $1,000.
The kids' Cyber Truck for $1,500. I think I would just go, you know, buy a Power Wheels instead for a couple hundred pounds.
Power Wheels.
There's a whistle called the Cyber Whistle.
Yeah. What? Anyway, enough of that nonsense.
That's all the things we can
I'm
buy.
I'm totally amused by all this. Sorry, guys. This
I mean, you know, awesome. every automaker sells merch.
But this
Tesla's
merch
no
is
different.
There's a Giga Texas belt buckle.
Of course there is.
That's awesome. I love it. I want to get a Texas belt buckle.
Actually, you may be better off investing in some Tesla merch than actually Tesla vehicles, especially the Cybertruck.
Very possibly.
If you have a Cybertruck, you might want to consider staying away from off-road events like King of the Hammers.
Yeah, because you might destroy your little vehicle.
Yeah, somebody took their Cybertruck to King of the Hammers this week and broke a suspension. I guess it was the guys from the Unplugged Performance Team. This is a company that sells a lot of Tesla accessories and like body kits and all kinds of things like that. And I think they also do performance accessories. Let me see.
Although, to be fair, I'm sure there were more than a few vehicles that did not leave.
Yeah, I mean,
it's King of the Hammers.
Yeah.
In as many
King of the Hammers destroys
pieces than they arrived in.
Yes. Yeah, it's not uncommon for stuff to break.
For things to meet their demise.
Well, these guys get to be the first ones to break a Cybertruck at King of the Hammers, so they got that going for them.
Right? Yeah.
There you go.
We won at breaking our car. Man, that's tough.
Yeah, it looks like broke a rear steering tie rod.
Oopsie.
I mean, what's steering really? I mean, yeah, the wheels in the front.
You can still steer with the front wheels.
Just
because, you know, one of your rear wheels is hanging off sideways, you know, it's disconnected from the car.
I think Emmy Hall has a picture of this vehicle underneath on her Instagram.
Of the is that the Cybertruck she was showing? She did have a picture of this scenario. I didn't catch what the actual vehicle was.
Yeah, I know it's a Cybertruck, but I don't know which one, if it was this one. Who is this person? This is not Emmy Hall that I'm looking for. This is not the Emmy Hall I was looking for. There we go. It's like some child. I'm like, nope.
This is not the right Emmy.
Let's see. Which one she has?
Yay, Emmy. Is that the one? I think that's her, followed by
Emmy.
Various people we know. Let's see.
Rear tire rod, the rear passenger side. Yeah, I think it's the same one. Unless two of them broke. Yeah, it doesn't look great.
Yeah.
Oof.
No, it doesn't look great.
Anyway, I just saw a video earlier today from TFL. Andre went out to California. One of their patrons has a Cybertruck and invited him to come out and drive it. And so he was towing, you know, he was driving it around. He also did a little bit of towing, towing a 7,000 pound 33 foot long camper trailer. Efficiency came out to about 0.95 miles per kilowatt hour towing this trailer.
Oof, that's not good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, to be fair,
that's Hummer EV.
With a trailer like that, you know, I mean, that's not much worse, you know, than what you would do with a Lightning or a Hummer.
Yeah, it's not a slam against the Tesla Cybertruck. Yeah, it's a slam against EV trucks.
Electric pickups.
As towing machines. Maybe don't. If you can help it. Unless you're going like 100 miles, maybe don't.
Yeah. And you know, well, the Silverado EV, because it's just got such a humongous battery, can actually do it. I mean, TFL did a towing test with a Silverado EV work truck that they got a few months ago from Chevy, and they went like, I think 205 or 210 miles on a charge, which is pretty good. It's way further than you can go with a Lightning. And that was towing a big trailer, you know, 10,000 pound trailer. Good.
Yeah.
Oof,
yeah.
That's a lot of trailer.
Yep.
I don't think people realize how much 10,000 pounds is. Yeah, it's a lot.
It's very, it is.
That's 5 tons, according to a math class I took once in high school, maybe junior high.
Go high school math.
I'm from a small town, so I don't know if that's correct. So if it's incorrect, please send me a message on Discord or email or LinkedIn.
All right. And finally, Tesla does a lot of business in China. In fact, nearly half of their global sales are in China. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's gotten a lot of incentives from the Chinese government to build a factory there and build vehicles there and export vehicles from China to other markets. Now, despite being so very dependent on the Chinese market, Musk is saying that Chinese automakers will demolish global rivals without trade barriers. So he wants the U.S. and other companies to increase, or other countries to increase the tariffs on Chinese-built EVs. BYD is already starting to ship their EVs to assorted other markets. SAIC, Xiaopeng, Li Auto, a bunch of Chinese brands are exporting their EVs to Europe and other markets. And Musk is very concerned about them coming into the U.S. market and thinks we need higher trade barriers to so that he doesn't have to compete with cheaper models from China.
But I think a lot of people have been talking about the cheaper models from China in general just being about ready to kick U.S. automakers' butts on all fronts.
Yeah, they're kind of ahead of us.
They're like,
when I say kind of, they are ahead of us. When I say kind of, I say they are ahead of us.
It's not so much I wonder, like, of course he doesn't want to have competition he can't beat. But also, like, I think all the automakers are in good shape.
Every automaker in the United States is like, oh, man.
It's like, crud. Don't figure out a way to handle this.
We got to figure this out for BYD figures out a way to sell cars here.
Exactly.
Oh,
yeah, man. Well, BYD's building a plant in Mexico.
They're selling them in Mexico. Yeah. MotorTrend did a whole piece on it. They went down. They drove it.
Yeah, they drove the seal. They're quite impressed with it.
Yeah. So. I want a Xiaopeng just because I love saying the word Xiao.
I mean, that's because everyone
because it's hard to like if you when everyone else looks at it, they're like how do you say
X-Pang.
That
Xiao?
X-Pang? Not Xiao. You're like, what?
Yeah.
X-Pang.
Believe me, before I moved to San Francisco, I would have said X-Pang. The new X-Pang. They're like, no, it's an X-Pang in my butt.
All right.
It's 4:30 in the afternoon here on the West Coast. I'm awake now.
He is on fire, people.
And that's all we've got for this week.
That's enough of Robbie.
Yeah.
Sam shuts it down.
All right. Shut her down.
We'll talk to you all next week. And don't forget to send us your questions and comments at feedback@wheelbearings.media. Get your merch at shop.wheelbearings.media. And thank you to all our patrons. I always forget to do that.
Thanks, patrons.
Thank you.
Thanks,
you pay
everybody.
Our bills. Yeah.
We'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.